called me to be successful. He's called me to be faithful. Shall we pray? Our Father, we pray that you will speak to all of us this morning, to each of us this morning. And when we leave, Father, we pray that you will have planted thoughts in our minds and help mold and shape our wills so that when we go out, we will be better people, we will be better Christians, we will be better servants. In Jesus' name, amen. I bring you greetings from Dallas. I don't know whether I should or not. We had a number of people from the chapel here, there. My wife and I were there. And just about 1,000 booths, three booths up, was Muriel Dennis with her line of books. And across the way were the Shaws with their line of books. And I shook hands with Benny Joseph in our author's lounge, in our booth. So all of us who are down there will tell you that it was hot. I think they said for 31 days now it had gone over 100 degrees. And one day we were there, it was only 110. And the rest of the time it was a little cooler than that. But we said, you don't have to necessarily believe in hell, but you have to believe in heat. It was warm. I'm reminded as I start of what the late Adlai Stevenson once said at a commencement. He said, each of us here has a job to do. You in the audience, your job is to listen, and my job up here is to speak. And if you get done with your job before I get done with mine, feel free to leave. I'm also reminded, which fits in very well with our discussion this morning of the actual quote from a bricklayer, and this was written on his accident report. He had been called to repair bricks on a wall, sort of at the top of this small apartment building. It was about three stories high, and he got everything ready, and they hoisted up the barrels of bricks up to the top and fixed it. But when he was over, he had this one barrel of bricks. So he got down and got off the pulley and he said, I realized immediately that the bricks weighed more than I did. He said, I started to go up and I was already too far off the ground to let go. So I hung on. Halfway up, I met the bricks, which accounts for the marks on my forehead. I continued to hold on as the bricks went down. I went up, and I hit my head on the beam supporting the pulley and pinched my fingers in the pulley. When the bricks hit the ground, the barrel burst, the bricks fell out, and therefore I was heavier than the barrel. So I started down. Halfway down, I met the remnants of the barrel coming up. He said, I continued to fall and fell on the pile of bricks and hurt my ankle and leg. It was then that I lost my head and let go of the rope. The barrel came down, hit me in the head, and I am in the hospital. Therefore, I am requesting sick leave. Sometimes, you know, no matter how people want to do it, they have trouble being successful. And they end up losing their head and ending up in the hospital. It illustrates, too, what our society is going through. We try and try and try very hard to be successful. I really appreciate these opportunities to talk here at Bethany. First time I did, the Lord just prepared what I had to say on forgiveness, just the right things, so that when we went on vacation a couple weeks later, I talked to my brother-in-law about Christ, and just the things I had prepared were the things I needed to talk to him. And then last January, I prepared the sermon on the secret of happiness, remember, something to do, someone to love, something to look forward to. And a couple weeks later, my father died. And again, that preparation was just right. Well, recently I've been in that, I guess, what they call that male midlife crisis period. And I've been saying, what is success? Am I going to reach the goals that I hope to reach? And so this, what we are talking about today is somewhat of a distillation of what we've been thinking about for the last 4 months. But we find that many men are in the same age category as myself and Ed, and I'll put him in my same age category. Ed, I'm not ashamed of you. We find that we're wondering whether our dreams are going to be fulfilled. And we see people around us and people younger than us doing things that, quote, look possibly better than what we are doing, unquote. And we say, oh, I'm not going to be successful. And then they begin looking and they begin questioning, and people question, men question everything, including sometimes their God, including sometimes their family. And they end up with the unfulfilled dream. And women, I agree with Ed when he says that women are in a whole new ball game in life. It used to be that the married women's chief responsibilities were to keep the house, keep their husbands happy, make their husbands happy, and raise good kids. And that's, society is under terrific pressure right now. While 3 of 4 of our married couples still wish to, still think that marriage is an ideal, and 44% prefer not to have a job, the odds are that any woman now who's entering the workforce, 18, 19, 20, 21, is going to work the rest of her life. She will probably take 2 years out, 3 years out to have kids and go back into the workforce. Right? And you also end up with like 50% of the kids being latchkey kids. In other words, they come home and no one's there to greet them from school. Children, Gallup poll shows that the number one problem with all children is discipline. It's remained that way for the past few years. And every year or every month, hundreds of teachers are assaulted, thousands of pupils are assaulted, and the Gallup Youth Survey says that as many as 1 in 5 young people are fearful that they might be physically harmed while they're at school. So our society, all this is to say that our society is not having much of an impact on making all of us feel successful. But I believe that it is God's plan, it is God's will, it is almost God's commandment that every Christian be successful. And that's the good news I have for you this morning, that you, no matter what your station in life, no matter where you are on your plans and hopes and desires, you can be successful. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And we sort of smile when somebody from Campus Crusade says that to somebody who's 72 or 73 years old. But it's not just an empty phrase. God does have a wonderful plan for your life. And I believe it is all attached to what we call success. So this morning we're going to do 3 things. We're going to look at what success is not. We're going to look at a definition of success which is consistent with what Jesus taught, which I think is consistent with what Jesus taught. And then we're going to look at a 3-step application process so that each one of us can experience success. First of all, what isn't success? We talk about possessions. Many people think, if I could have this and I could have that, and I must admit that occasionally I get a bad case of the wants. There's something I just want. It costs money, and my wife keeps the budget, and she says, we don't have it. And I know she's right, but boy, I want it. And I think, well, what can I do to get that? DuPage County is a very tough place to live in. And it's even tougher for your kids because we are either number two or number three, depending on the year, in per capita income in the whole nation. That means as we look around us, each person on the average is earning more income than in any other county except one in the whole United States. Looked at the booksellers convention, and we had a very famous author who's been in our stable and has also written for other people. And he's written a very big book now. And we thought we were going to get that book. We had proposed it to him. He thought it was a good idea. We gave him the outline. And then he wrote to us and said, after much prayer and agonizing, I decided to give the book to another publisher. You know what the prayer and agonizing was? It was $140,000. That's what it was. And we see it turning authors. And authors, instead of saying, what does God really want me to do, may be saying, where can I get the most money? I have a friend who says getting a lot of money is, he's making a lot more than he used to. And he says, Paul, he says, I'm just at a different level of poverty. And I believe him. You read in Luke 12:13, and I'll just turn to it. I'll be reading from the Living Bible since Jim Wright isn't here this morning. The 12:13. Then someone called from the crowd to Jesus, Sir, please tell my brother to divide my father's estate with me. But Jesus replied, Man, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Beware. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have, for real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. I think while the Bible says nothing about, the Bible doesn't discourage us about having riches, and the Bible has chosen people to be rich, He's also allowed some of us to have less. He's allowed still others to have almost nothing. And riches are not the important criteria for success. Food and clothing. If looks, if intelligence is the golden coin of human worth, looks are the silver coin of human worth. So it looks good to have a good suit, a neat appearance, or if you're in a different culture style, to have a real dirty, baggy pair of overalls. You know, you have to have the clothes that make you fit in with your peers. At least that's what human nature says. And I discovered at the convention that my blue suit had given up the ghost, and therefore I would not be able to wear it today, so I'm stuck with one suit. And my wife says, well, I guess we're going to have to get another suit, and I think she's right. So I'm going to have to put that money out. But really, I'd like to buy about 5 or 6 new suits. But that's not possible. And in a way, in God's sight anyhow, that is not a key for success. And even in food, steak isn't necessarily my thing, but a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich with lots of bacon in it is super. And I don't necessarily need a fancy dessert, but I must admit I do like Breyer's ice cream. And those that have lots of Breyer's ice cream and lots of bacon would be great things for me. But again, Jesus said in Luke 12:22, then turning to his disciples, he said, don't worry about whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear, for life consists of far more than food or clothes. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or have barns to store away their food, and yet they get along all right, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than birds. And then going down to verse 31, he will always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. A third thing that people sometimes talk about for success is position, power, honor. And I think that power is probably one of the biggest lures of all to someone who sees the chance for it. I know I've talked to some executives and high-level executives, and their concern is not necessarily for money. They just say money is just a scorecard of how they're doing. Their real concern is for the power that they can have and what they can do. But I think that God shows us that even power is short-lived. I have sort of good news for Jim Wright. We heard Gallup speak to us on Thursday night. And he says, right now the polls show Reagan far, far ahead. But he didn't project that it would stay that way. He said, traditionally, right after the convention, the man is far ahead. He says, look what happened to Carter and Ford last year. And so he is predicting a very, very close race. Although in the next breath he said it could be very possible that Jimmy Carter would be out of office. And you had to ask yourself, why would President Ford come out of retirement, and why would he possibly even consider going against the wishes of his wife? The real question is, he was offered the chance for power. And power can be something that people want, an honor. But God's honor roll is different. In Luke 11:43, he says, woe to you Pharisees, for how you love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the respectful greetings from everyone as you walk through the markets. Yes, awesome judgment is awaiting for you. And then he says, men go by with no knowledge of the corruption you are possessing. Even friends are not as important in God's list of success. Because in Deuteronomy, he told the Old Testament Jews that if their closest friend was to encourage them to go out and worship another god, or even their beloved wife or their son or their daughter, they were to kill that person. Because more important to God was his definition of success. And I believe, from my study of the Bible, that God's definition of success is obeying the will of God the Father. Let me give it to you again. Success is obeying the will of God the Father. I think Jesus had that gave that definition for himself. For example, in Matthew 12:46-50. As Jesus was speaking in a crowded house, his mother and brothers were outside wanting to talk to him. When someone told him they were there, he remarked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? He pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my brother, these are my mother and brothers. And he added, anyone who obeys my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. Then in John 4:31-34, John 4, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus to eat. No, he said, I have some food you don't know about. Who brought it to him? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus exclaimed, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me, and from finishing his work. Turn the page over. John 6:38. For I have come here from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to have my own way. And then back in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:17-19. Don't misunderstand why I have come. It isn't to cancel the laws of Moses and the warnings of the prophets. No, I came to fulfill them and to make them all come true. With all the earnestness I have, I say, every law in the book will continue until its purpose is achieved. And so if anyone breaks the least commandment and teaches others to, he shall be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But those who teach God's laws and obey them shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to have success in the kingdom of heaven? Do you want God to think you're successful? Jesus said, but those who teach God's laws and obey them shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. That means no matter what you do, no matter what your position in life, no matter what vocation God has chosen you to do, you can be successful because or if you obey God's laws and obey them. Then in John 14, one more passage. I don't want to overkill you with these, but I do want to make the point. One verse, if you love me, obey me. That's where he says, I will send the comforter. And then verse 21, the one who obeys me is the one who loves me. And because he loves me, my Father will love him, and I too. And what's the contingent on? Obeying what Jesus said. And I will reveal myself to them. And further he says, I am leaving you. Well, let me keep reading. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but his other disciple with that name, said to him, Sir, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us disciples, not to the world at large? Jesus replied, Because I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. The Father will love them too, and we will come to them and live with them. Anyone who doesn't obey me doesn't love me. And remember, I am not making up this answer to your question. It is the answer given by the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Comforter instead of me, and by the Comforter I mean the Holy Spirit, He will teach you much, as well as remind you of everything I myself have told you. And I believe the Holy Spirit is telling us today that our job, our success, is to obey the will of God the Father. Jesus continued, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And this isn't this what we are really looking for in the way of success? Peace of mind and heart. Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift. You who obey me, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. If you're searching for success and you haven't been sure of what it is, and you're looking at yourself and beginning to wonder about yourself, or about your kids or your parents, remember Christ's definition of what success is. Success is obeying the will of the Father who sent me. Now, here's the question. Well, let me give you a couple other verses, and I'll just read them off. In Deuteronomy, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees. That was in Deuteronomy. In 1 Samuel, has the Lord as much pleasure in your burnt offerings and sacrifice as your obedience? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. He is much more interested in your listening to Him than in your offering the fat of rams to Him.
Okay, so folks, if the definition of success is to obey the will of God the Father, what is the application process?